Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
BB.
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
We are in a unique situation at quarterback right now. Tommy is getting better. We do not know what that means until we start working tonight. We'll find out a little bit more about what he can do. He has definitely improved. Will he improve enough for the game? We don't know yet.
Unique? Unique? There's a ton of other words to use, most not for radio, to use for Nebraska's cornerback situation heading into Iowa. Welcome to the Monday edition of Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning, producing, engineering, and coughing on many. Loaded show today as we get you ready for, well, rivalry week, holiday week, get fat and don't care week. It's all good. We'll talk plenty Nebraska. Iowa today, a couple of thoughts on Nebraska. Maryland, Michael Bruns, 24-7 Sports going to be with us in 1 hour. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Coach McBride will be with us, his thoughts moving into Iowa week. And then Huskers senior defensive tackle Kevin Maurice, Puddin', as he's been titled. But don't call him that or say that within arm's reach, because he's really not soft, okay? Kevin Maurice is going to be with us, excited about that. Can we hear that unique part one more time, TJ? Because that tells you how positive Coach Riley is. Now, you've got to put a brave face on your situation at quarterback. You have an angry hamstring. You have a pinned wrist. You have a red shirt you don't want to burn, and you have a quarterback that moved to wideout, that moved to a holder, that we'll see snaps tonight. The U word.
In a unique situation at quarterback right now.
Uh-huh. Bird, can we all chip in and get Coach Riley, not that he needs it or would take it, but we're thinking of him in the situation. He said, should we just chip in and go early Christmas gift and get him about a case of scotch? just, wow. You're in this quarterback situation moving forward. The term of if you didn't have bad luck, you'd have none at all comes to my mind. How about you, Bird? You freaked out about the quarterback situation heading into Iowa, who, by the way, has won a lot of November games with subpar O-line and quarterback play. So they just want to even things out, I guess. Time will tell. Plenty of time between now and kickoff at 2:30 on Friday for Nebraska, Iowa. But, man, the hits kind of keep on coming for Nebraska. And, of course, Nick Gregeth, want to give him credit for this, got this info out about the Riker injury early this morning, confirmed by Coach Riley today, just seconds into the press conference, about the surgery that Riker required. And I think this happened third quarter because he finished the game. He did post-game interviews. Mm-hmm. So, hey, it's all good. Go lead your team to a win. Finish the ball game. Go get a steak. Have surgery. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, this is I'll raise his unique to a very interesting, very very.
I'm thinking
interesting.
What comes to my
right
mind?
Now.
It's some sort of expletive show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Dumpster fire.
Yeah, that's what comes to my mind when it comes to situations you don't want to be in and how you title them.
Yeah, for some reason, though, I'm not like, I don't know.
You're not freaked out
about
it?
I'm not like overly panicked. No, because realistically.
Says the guy who won with, what's his name at quarterback? Not named Zach.
Oh, true.
Harrison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you have a win under your belt with a Harrison Beck.
Yeah. Well, he came in for
a late hit.
Yeah.
I just had to say.
No worries.
So you are totally ice water in veins guy here.
No, I'm not. I find it very interesting. I kind of, like, I mean, let's be honest, it'd be great to finish 10-2. I don't know. I'm not concerned with what Iowa does offensively. Let's be honest. This is going to be, your stereotypical Big Ten type of football game anyways.
17-14, I mean, Michigan, cloud of dust.
Iowa's defense is playing great football right now. Mm-hmm. They're playing very, very well. Shout out Illinois, 28-0. I know the weather wasn't very well in Champaign, but the way they handled Michigan's offense the night before or the weekend before, holding them to 12 points, 13 points, whatever they held them to, 13. So they're playing very well. So obviously our offense, I think, would struggle no matter who's playing quarterback. I mean, the way we tried to run the football in the fourth quarter this last game wasn't it wasn't executed very well at all. But
that whole fourth quarter needs to be erased.
Well, that was bad.
Right? Teams are just like, is it done yet?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It felt like that. Like, and that's the thing. Is like
once you went up 21-0 on Maryland, it was
get this thing over with.
All good.
And we
just
kept
run
throwing
the clock.
It and throwing it. But
that's kind of, they did keep throwing
right.
it, didn't
it's like, just get this thing. Can we run like three lead plays in a row and get like 2-3 yards and then punt it or at least do something besides, having to chuck it? But neither here nor there. But I'm kind of interested. I'm very intrigued to see what would happen. I don't know why you call me crazy. How this team would do with you can call me crazy. I've been called a lot worse. With Zach Darlington at quarterback, what the hell we would do offensively? I want to see like how creative or what we would do. I don't know why. Call me sick.
I just want to see the madness happen.
No,
listen, I like Zach. I loved his film at Apopka. Mm-hmm. Down in Florida, and I know he's had concussion issues, and I know Urban liked him, and I know Bo honored the scholarship, and I tell you what, Zach's been the definition of team guy, the thing on him, and we've seen him play quarterback in a couple of spring games. We just haven't seen a lot of downfield completions by him, but I think intermediate, and as far as confidence and mobility, you can do a lot worse.
Well, you can use him. You could use him pretty significantly in the QB run game.
I think you could.
You're not going to have him chuck it all over the yard. But I want to see what we do with our run game wise.
I think he'd be accurate.
I think I'd like to see what we do run game wise. You know, do we go like a three back system and just try to do something? Crazy triple option. Different looks of the veer or just something crazy just to throw a different wrinkle. Because honestly, it's just. You look at this situation. If you're going into this game with your third-string quarterback, if I had to bet money, I don't think Zach's playing. I think Riker
we're putting money down right now. Tommy's playing.
The people I talk to that are still involved with the program, he's getting better. He's improved.
He'll be fine.
Probably not practicing yet today. Looks like more tomorrow. We'll be able to test it because obviously you're traveling. It's a short week. This is a Tuesday instead of a Monday for these guys.
But he's not done much since Minnesota game.
No, he hasn't.
So he's had that time off to heal and get treatment.
But I think, it'd just be interesting, but with what they would do, how they would just completely, what they do with shifts and formations and just to try to use your strengths to what you have. Because obviously when you go in your the last game of the year with your third string quarterback, you kind of have to almost throw a lot out of what you've built so far without the season, I believe. And just, I would say throw it out, but you have to tweak it. You'd have to tweak it, rearrange it, throw some new wrinkles in there to give yourself the best chance of winning in Iowa City the day after Thanksgiving.
What are the strengths you can tailor the game plan to? And quite clearly the strengths of the game plan Saturday against Maryland, Riker's arm, Riker's accuracy, Riker on crossing routes, and you had 62% completion percentage. You had him throw 37 times.
Expecting that. I'll total, be first to admit.
Yeah, the highest total of the season. And then you didn't quite get Newby to 100 yards, but Nebraska cranked out a couple 10, 12-yard runs from time to time, and they were getting a solid five or so, but it still wasn't super convenient. Until you got that 21-0 lead, then you could kind of exhale. And I thought Nebraska handled themselves well. Let's spend a couple of minutes here on Saturday. One, the command and comfort of Riker. I was wondering how he would handle the start at home, his first start at home, his second career start ever. And I thought he was a boss. I thought he did well, and I thought he was calm. I thought the guys rallied around him. I thought the emotion that you saw on all those seniors' faces as they put the roses down on the 27-yard line on for Fultz was very apparent. But I thought the focus and just the build-up and then the treatment of the pregame through the game was handled so well by not only these seniors but also by the coaching staff to keep them ready. They didn't look at all like it was an 11 o'clock kick, full of emotion anyway because it's senior day, and then you tack on the memory and the tribute to Fultz. All of that was handled, for lack of a better term, so professionally by the guys, and they went out and wanted to go win one more for him. So that, a lot of times, you can speak to this. I mean, you get a bit of a rough start a lot of times in senior days. Mm-hmm. It's just what the word is. Mm-hmm. Guys are up, they're worried, they're thinking about it, or in Saturday's instance, they narrow and focus and go kick butt. Mm-hmm. They did that. And then Maryland's not great, but the run defense with that speed Maryland has was impressive. Mm-hmm. And I'll give Maryland this too. I mean, poor Alonzo Moore had 6 catches, but they were for 3 yards because Maryland decided to tackle for the first time all season in open space. So I think Nebraska did well. The run defense was big time. And the development to get Riker ready, and then the screen game was on point. So I felt pretty good. It's the first time Nebraska jumped out of the gate, got all over someone, and then it was a bad fourth quarter for both teams, kind of reversal of what had been the case through much of the season. I thought that was encouraging.
Yeah, I wasn't completely 100% concerned, but there was a little bit of doubt in my mind with this game. With Riker,
worst
just,
case scenario right, just, going through your mind.
Right, you just don't know how he's going to handle it. Everything with first start at home, the whole senior day. You just don't know, and the inconsistencies of this offensive line, other of the past games, how they haven't executed very well defensively. You didn't know because with what Maryland was bringing in here, obviously they didn't have their starting quarterback playing as well. But you just didn't know. It's just weird. It's just with this team, they just. You don't know quite how to peg them in every game. I mean, just how they perform throughout the year. It's just you don't. But very impressed with how they came out and handled their business. They got in, they got out. Now, granted, the fourth quarter was driving me nuts. I mean, I hate finishing like that. I tell you what, it's like in golf when you shoot really good in the front nine, obviously, and you play horrible in the back. You finish, but
that's happened before,
right? You shoot a few under the front and you shoot like 42 in the back, and it's like you might have still shot 75, but you feel horrible because
could have been a 68.
Yeah, exactly. But how better do you feel after those games where you finish so well? It's just I don't know. It's different, but overall, you that's a game you get in and you get out, and you
they
take
did
that.
It.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Ran the football,
you
they
take
did
that.
Well.
You take that 28-7 win. You stuck it. You put it away. And you forget about it, and somehow you got to move on to Iowa with whatever you got left in the tank.
Short weeks bother you? Because you were a part of 4 of them.
Yeah, not really. No, I didn't mind it as much. A lot of times we always came off a bye, going into this game. So it wasn't a big deal, but it shouldn't. I mean, they're practicing this evening instead of having this off. I'm sure they got all day yesterday off, came in. They're practicing tonight at 6:30. They had to kind of get around guys' night classes and stuff like that, but it shouldn't be a problem. I mean, it's this time of year, man. Everyone's tired. Everyone's beat up. It's just you got to go out and who makes the least amount of mistakes, the turnovers, the penalties.
Well, turnovers and special teams win the day in Iowa City or in Lincoln for either of these mm-hmm. two teams. We'll mm-hmm. get into the rival question and the rivalry week. As, Nebraska and Iowa, do they belong in that sentence, a part of rivalry week? We'll dive into that. We'll get into the quarterback's thoughts and more from Coach Riley in his press conference today. Going on the road with a backup quarterback or a third-team quarterback, I think somebody did that when his defense held a ranked team and Chad May before his eyes got poked to 6 points, and that's the old K-State-Nebraska game in 1994. Charlie McBride will talk about protecting that third-team quarterback mm-hmm. if you have to play him. Now, the Terminator was something special. But Coach McBride, less than an hour away. Michael Brunt's coming up shortly. And then Kevin Maurice will be with us as he's a senior defensive tackle. He's done amazing things on the interior. And he's helped mentor some of those young pups next to him or behind him on the line of scrimmage. He's done just great work. I want to remind you about drinking and driving. Safe driving demands your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. And real quick, Jay Moore, Blackshirt Jay, if you're to look at this Nebraska defensive side of the ball, where do you think Nebraska's playing the best right now heading into Iowa on the defense? Is it the line? Is it the linebackers? Is it a specific portion of the D, like the run defense? Do you like the secondary? The secondary had some really good plays. They knocked the balls down. If you were to circle what you're most impressed with heading into Iowa, what is it?
Man, if you can throw out Ohio State at everything.
Ohio State is over in timeout land.
Yeah. I think secondary play.
Yeah?
I mean, not giving up the big play.
Okay.
You know, we'll give up some plays in front of us. That's just quarters defense. It's kind of a bend don't break type of system. But when we get stressed in the back end, we've made plays and we've gotten, you know, hands on balls and got some picks. So I think that back end play has been really good.
Good stuff. We'll spend more time on the quarterback situation at Nebraska. We roll on a Monday. Michael Brunt's on the way with Hail Varsity.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with Michael Brunt's 24/7 Sports Recruiting Weekend, Husker Basketball, and Iowa Thoughts. Brunty, do you have eligibility? How's your wrist? Can you play quarterback?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I have any eligibility remaining. I think that ran out sometime around the start of the Callahan era. And unfortunately, I'm also not sure if I have any hot sauce left in this old chicken wing of mine either. So I don't know how much I'd be able to help on the quarterback. But, I mean, if any of your listeners have any, you know, now would be the time to step up and volunteer, I think.
How are your wheels? So maybe you can't throw. Maybe we go to a zone run, zone read run attack, huh? I'm just,
you know,
I'm thinking for the state here, okay?
You know when you're at the grocery store and you're walking in and you pull out that shopping cart that has that kind of wobbly wheel on it that doesn't really go where you want it to? It's kind of like, that's me on a good day. We'll put it that way.
Okay, so Michael Brunt has been ruled out for quarterback on Friday against Iowa. How about Coach Riley? I mean, just today at the presser, hey, we'll be okay. I mean, he's positive, and there's no hair to pull out, but what can you do? I mean, Tommy, you have Riker, you have Darlington, who I loved watching his high school film, but that's been years ago. And then there's the Lamar Jackson wild card. I suppose DPE can dust off his quarterback video from the Potomac days. But seriously, let's talk Nebraska here. If you're giving me a forecast in percentage and odds here, I think Tommy will go. Easy for me to say. I'm not his hamstring. But listen, I think he'll figure out a way to get under center or be in shotgun. I just don't know how active he'll be able to run even with this time off since Minnesota. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's Monday now. I mean, you're going to have a few days of practice. And then, you know, with the injury with Riker, too, is to his non-throwing hand. So, you know, I think between Tommy and Riker, I think you can, you know, one of those guys is going to be well enough to play. And, you know, they're obviously not going to be 100%, but, you know, I don't think many guys are this time of year anyway. I mean, you're in week 12. It's a grind. And you know, I think, you know, one of those guys I think should be okay. I think Darlington could give you something in an emergency. I can't imagine a scenario where they have to go, you know, Lamar Jackson or Pearson L in the Wildcat or something like that. But, I mean, I guess you have to consider that option as a coach just in case. But I think they should be able to do something there. I mean, I think, you know, regardless of who your quarterback was going to be in this game, you were going to need a strong run game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way these, these games that Iowa are. I can see it being a 21-17 or a 17-14 or something like that, just low-scoring, kind of grinded-out football. So I think you should be able to have something with either, you know, Riker or Tommy or a combination of both. But, you know, it certainly is a concern when you're going into to practice on Monday afternoon of a short week and you don't know who's going to be your number one quarterback that afternoon in practice. So it is a concern, but I think, you know, something will kind of work itself out there to where, you know, one of the top two guys will probably be under center for that first snap against Iowa.
Michael Bruns, 24/7 Sports with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Michael Bruns on Twitter. The biggest concern I have for Iowa, and I know their defense has been stout, Josie's money in the middle, their secondary is good, but on the offensive end, they've been winning games without good quarterback play. Beathard's had no time to be the Beathard of 2015, but Wadley is incredible. He doesn't need much room, and then he gets to the edge, and he's gotten to the edge against everybody. And they were able to win the Michigan game with defense and the run game and zero effectiveness from quarterback play. Nebraska's been great against the run, but still Wadley and his speed is, I think, what Nebraska's got to focus on offensively against Iowa. Is that kind of the name, the guy you have circled as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think that there's really anybody on Iowa's roster offensively that really scares him. And I don't think their offensive line is as good as it was last year. You've seen that reflected in Beathard's numbers and the way they struggle offensively. You know, I don't think that any of Iowa's offensive skill players on the outside really scare you. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the tight end play will be solid from Iowa. I think it's one of those things where you look at last year, you know, Nebraska outgained Iowa by a significant margin in that game, and there were only a small handful of plays that really decided it. The key in this game for Nebraska is going to be taking care of the ball and just playing sound football. I mean, it really is going to be the recipe that Nebraska has done so well this year. Mike Riley talked a lot about turnover differential today, and this is the kind of game where, you know, that's huge. These games have swung on turnovers. They've swung on special teams play. And, you know, with Iowa's running game, they really do just kind of need, you know, one or two creases, and they can take it to the house. So, I mean, you saw that happen last year where it seemed like Nebraska had it bottled up, and then all of a sudden, you know, Iowa wins by a couple scores. So I really think that, you know, if Nebraska plays sound defensively against the run, gets Iowa in third and long, I think that's going to help, you know, kind of, you know, assuage any of the fears that are there because of the question mark at quarterback for Nebraska. I think the defense can play solid. It's just really going to be, you know, can they stop the run?
Brent Steelers Talk weekend visits. A few kids were in to check out Nebraska. And what did you see? What did you hear? How did the weekend go for a number of those kids? Kind of highlight who's been impressed by Nebraska over the weekend.
Yeah, it was kind of a quiet visit weekend. Just one official visitor, Jeremiah Holman. He's a top 247 wide receiver from Georgia. Had originally planned to come up for the Minnesota game, but couldn't do that, but made the trip this past weekend. I feel like he's a kid that's probably going to stay in SEC country, but, you know, I think with Nebraska and the way they've done things this year, they've really put a strong emphasis on getting kids in Lincoln for games. They feel like they can really sell the atmosphere. I think that was impressive to Holloman. I think that, you know, Nebraska has really just kind of set it up now for in-home visit season, and that starts pretty quickly here, within a week. And, you know, I think, you know, with these guys having seen Lincoln, having seen the atmosphere, now it's really time for the assistants and Mike Riley to get out, get in homes in front of parents and really kind of close the deal. You know, the other kind of intriguing visitor, an unofficial visitor, 2018 quarterback from Corona Centennial, Tanner McKee, ended up getting an offer. Is a guy that's a four-star quarterback, 6'5", 6'6", but he can move. So kind of an intriguing guy. I think Nebraska, you know, zeroed on him earlier this fall, and to get him out for a visit on his own dime during California State playoff time definitely signals his level of interest. So that'll be kind of interesting to watch going forward as Nebraska looks ahead to 2018, trying to find their quarterback that you can kind of build the class around. So I know he was pretty impressed with what he saw in Lincoln, and I would expect that Nebraska is going to continue trying to press there and see if they can get another of the top quarterbacks committed from the West Coast.
Brian Steele's talk Husker Hoops. They're off to Dayton later in the week, and then a tournament out west, and then Clemson, you know, within a week. So what have you been impressed with Nebraska basketball? What areas need to be shored up here in the next few days?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been pretty impressed with the growth that we've seen out of the sophomore class. You know, I think Glenn Watson, Jack McVay, Ed Morrow, all those guys are playing pretty solid basketball, and they're going to need to. I mean, those are the guys in Nebraska knew they're going to have to rely upon this season, and so far they've been able to do that. The question now becomes, as you're, you know, stepping up the level of competition a little bit from Louisiana Tech and Sacramento State is, you know, do you have the rotation figured out, and are those kind of role players going to step in and give you solid minutes, play good defense, and give you a little scoring punch? I think that's kind of what Tim Miles is going to find out about his team over this next week or so, is they're going to be playing some athletic teams, some teams that are going to be NCAA tournament teams, and you know, how are those young guys like Roby, Horn, Schwanga, how are those guys going to step up and kind of help off the bench? You know, the guy I neglected to mention is Ty Webster, is a guy that's been pretty impressive so far. He really is kind of taking on that role of the leading scorer and the leader, and I think he's playing his best basketball since he's been at Nebraska, so that's definitely a positive. But Nebraska's going to find out a lot about itself over the next week, 10 days or so, and where they truly are as a program and as a team right now. And I think you really have to keep an eye on those kind of role players just to see how this rotation is going to shake out for Nebraska.
Michael Bruns, 24/7 Sports, at Michael Bruns on Twitter. Now, it's been a bye week for Denver. Are you wearing Texans colors tonight?
I'll be, you know, checking in on that game to see how things are going, but it's officially the start of Chiefs Hate Week, so we'll see how that ends up on Sunday. But you know, kind of a weekend off from the stresses of being a Denver fan. It was kind of nice.
So when it came down to picking, and most kids in this part of the country, you're either Denver or you're Kansas City. What swayed you to Denver? Was it the John Elway haircut, or is it the Dave? Not Dave Craig. He was with Seattle with just a great throwing motion, if you ask Aaron Babcock. But I'm trying to think of the old Kansas City quarterback, Steve DeBerg.
Steve DeBerg
and that man perm. Did that scare you?
The man perm. I feel like there were a lot of quarterbacks around that era that were rocking the man perm. But in my family, they actually had Broncos season tickets from the first year that the Broncos were in Denver. Ooh. So the choice that you referenced between being a Broncos fan or a Chiefs fan was not a choice in my family. It was basically you're a Broncos fan or get out of the family. So that was the real choice there for me. And I chose correct. And as far as I know, I'm still in the will. So that was pretty much how it broke down for me.
Well, good. I like that. That's the way to do it. Once you enter this family, I could go on, but we don't need to get into Goodfellas quoting. Okay. Michael Bruns, 24/7 Sports, at Michael Bruns. Brunsy, you have yourself a great Turkey Day, and we'll talk again. Thanks for a few minutes, man.
Sounds good to me. We'll talk to you then.
Great to get caught up with the world-famous Denver fan, Michael Bruns, 24/7 Sports, at Michael Bruns on Twitter. Coming up, your chance this hour and next hour to register and win a six-month premium online subscription to HaleVarsity.com. Jake Jensen does amazing recruiting work. He's been all over the recruiting front. And when you're a premium subscriber, you get access to the message boards, that premium content online, insider info, in-depth recruiting, and, of course, breaking news. So your chance this hour and next at a HaleVarsity.com premium online subscription.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
There he is, Blackshirt Jay, Chris Schmidt, Hale Varsity Radio, TJ Henning. Thanks to Michael Bruns. We are less than 35 minutes from Blackshear Charlie. Mondays with Charlie, Coach Charlie McBride will be with us. Kevin Maurice, Husker senior defensive tackle, will join us. His thoughts on the Hawkeyes. All right, let's take the temperature of you, the Nebraska fan, heading into this Iowa game. And it's just been a little cloudy, not just weather-wise, but I think excitement-wise since Ohio State. I think it's been a little bit cloudy. And if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. That's all good. I'm all ears. 466-377-6800-825-5865. The hopes of making a way to Indy, playing for a Big Ten title after the Wisconsin game. I mean, first and foremost, this season's flown by. Mm-hmm. It's been extremely fast. You blink and it's almost over. But it's also taken its toll. I mean, there's a small percentage that are like, whew, let's get the year done. There's that element of it, too. As fast as it's gone to me, there's like, I mean, you kind of peak. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've had your roadblocks or your kind of your checkpoints with Oregon, and then you have Ohio State after what you do at Wisconsin. Now, Iowa is kind of the last hurdle. You need some help to get to Indy. Don't know if that's going to happen. TJ has his calculator out and has borrowed three accountants tell you about the Big Ten West tiebreaker. And then there's just Iowa. And we'll get into the rivalry chirp fest in about an hour or a little less. But the pulse right now is it's Iowa. Wake me up when it's over. You still want Nebraska to win, obviously. But you're at 9 wins right now. But I don't know that you feel like you've beaten anybody this year. And that's not a knock. It's just kind of how it's turned out. Wyoming's a good football team. Oregon, hey, all right, fist bump them. They beat Utah. Could have got Wisconsin. Ohio State embarrassed you. And now there's Iowa, that at least Iowa's playing good football. And right now the feeling is, it's the day after Thanksgiving. You'll get ready. You want Nebraska to win. You know it's going to be a tough game. But I think there's just the shine is off a bit because you don't control, mm-hmm. agree or disagree, being able to get to Indianapolis. You need some help.
Yeah.
And you're not sneezing at Northwestern. I know they faded a bit. And you're not sneezing at beating Minnesota.
Indiana.
And you're not sneezing at beating Indiana. But it's still, there's no major animal head to put in your basement like you just went big game hunting.
Yeah, I think things would be a little differently if we controlled our own destiny. If we, you know, maybe had beaten Wisconsin or Wisconsin had slipped up another time.
Am I off?
No.
Base is just kind of sleepwalking towards the end. Let's play somebody cool in the bowl game.
Right. The way I kind of see it is if we had our control and we beat Iowa to go to Indy, I think it would be a lot better narrative, obviously. But also the fact that, okay, if you win or lose, and you know people aren't expecting, I'm not expecting Minnesota to beat Wisconsin at all, but crazier things have happened. But here's the thing. So you go in this, no matter what, you go 9-3, 10-2. Your bowl game scenario really doesn't change that much. You're probably looking
California
at
California or Florida.
You're looking at the Outback Bowl. You're maybe looking at Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl type game like
Citrus.
That. Yeah. So
do they get free sauce?
They probably get plenty.
Okay.
They probably get plenty. But I think, you know, and also I think
got some habanero over here.
Right. I think the people are a little, they're satisfied because you're looking at, you have nine, you know, you've achieved 9 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if you go 9-3, I said, that's overachieving.
You'll take it, but you want
more. Right, right.
That's a little bit.
But I think the Ohio State game kind of took a lot of that wind out of that sails for people. Mm-hmm. I think if you were more competitive in that game, I think people are feeling a little bit better, but I think people are still a little punch drunk from that game. They're just like, damn.
They're like, Jesus, yeah. It happened again.
Right, right. I think it's a lot. I think it's but like I said, if this was still...
Now, are you geeked for Iowa?
Honestly, I'm not like super geeked.
It's kind of your type of ball game where you roll your sleeves up,
right.
And it's like let's punch.
I mean,
I'm
always excited to watch Nebraska play, but I'm not. There's ever kind of since that Wisconsin game, even with going into the Ohio State game, there wasn't a whole lot of juice. There wasn't a lot of juice for Minnesota. There definitely was zero juice for Maryland. That's why that game kind of concerned me a little bit.
I mean, the juice has been with the coaches and players, thankfully.
Right, thankfully. But
you know, the other
hype,
$1.8 million,
right.
You know, you're just kind of hanging out.
But it comes with the territory, you know. That's what happens when you get blown out. And that's what happens when you're playing teams that, you know, don't move the needle too. You know, yeah. I think if we were playing, you know, Wisconsin now this week, or Michigan, or Michigan State, or Ohio State, I think it's obviously different.
There's better and tougher ends to the schedule
right.
in coming years.
But I tell you what, you finish 10-2 and you beat Iowa on the road at Kinnick.
They'll take 10-2, and then
absolutely.
Hopefully you get – I think it's matching up right now, depending on how bad Florida gets disemboweled.
Yeah, you can see Florida in the Citrus Bowl, like Michigan saw them last year, where they smoked them. Or the Outback, you're playing another good SEC team. You're probably looking at, well, who knows,
We're trying to find a good second SEC team.
Tennessee?
Yeah, but they're like 8-4.
I know, but who's
Auburn's going to be 8-4?
Right, but
I mean,
who
you don't have
who
a number
taking?
Two. LSU's at 6-4.
Right.
Arkansas, the pig farmer. They don't do much for me.
It's all SEC.
Other than you don't like Bielema.
SEC
his wife and
it's all Bama and no one
and
else.
He put up 70-something on you the last time you played him.
I think it's because you don't have a signature win. And I brought this up last week, and you weren't here, Jay, and I'd like to get your thoughts. Do we have a signature win this year? Because our best win might be an 8-4 Wyoming or a 7-5 Iowa.
Not necessarily.
I think
you would say early in the year you thought that Oregon was going to be a signature win, but it turned out to not
be. It's 4-8.
Right. I mean, honestly, you look at your best win so far this year is beating Minnesota.
It is. And if Northwestern can finish 6-6 – God, you know what would be awesome? You know what would be great? Is you dirty your way into Indianapolis. I mean, you get Minnesota, you send them thank yous from now until the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
You get to Indy. You tell Michigan State to stay down. It really doesn't mean that much with a fourth win. And you get Penn State. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be awesome.
That'd be great.
That would give you a shot of energy you could beat Penn State and end up in the Rose Bowl.
Minnesota, the game's in Wisconsin, correct?
It is.
Yeah. You hope that...
It doesn't matter much. I mean, it's usually about a 10-point ball game. Goldie fights hard, but can't get a stop or two they need.
Well, again, it's coming... That game's all about Minnesota's offense versus Wisconsin's D. I mean, Wisconsin's offense is not going to create a ton against whoever they play.
Minnesota looked really good against Northwestern, though.
Right. But it's all about Wisconsin defense. I mean, they're able to score points at Purdue when they were struggling early in the game.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to, what Leitner's able to do. He's able to, you know, throw the ball at all, how that run game looks against that Wisconsin D.
No, I know.
Stranger things have happened.
No, it could have. You're telling me there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning will wind down hour one, 10 minutes away from Charlie McBride on Hail Varsity.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Great to have you in as we wind down hour one. 10 minutes away, Charlie McBride, Mr. Blackshirt, Mondays with Charlie. Kevin Maurice, also next hour. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. How about Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman? We are dangerously close to the month of December. 1 carat diamonds available at Sauter Heyman for just $100 a month. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman today, as they were kind enough to be part of the grand prize giveaway at the Friday Hail Varsity tailgate, his and her Oris watches. Here's my suggestion. Get yourself an Oris watch from Rick. Get her that 1 carat diamond, $100 a month. Limited time offer with approved credit. 12th and O downtown Lincoln South Point Pavilion. In Lincoln or out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com, your best ring. .com. Pretty cool weekend. You had a bunch of ball games that ended up having snow. And snow games in HD rock.
Mm-hmm.
Those were a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed with West Virginia. I didn't think Oklahoma would come play.
I thought West Virginia that well. Would handle them. Yeah. I thought Oklahoma's defense, well, not very good, but
West Virginia's fumbled 17 times in
the snow.
West
Virginia's offense was dumpster fire. That's the word of the day.
It was fine. Yeah, they were, and they know about burning things. Mm-hmm, so well done. Mm-hmm. You have the snow that fell in East Lansing, and after the Nebraska game, we're kind of standing around before the media and interview session started. After the Nebraska win, you see a little snow going on. And then Ohio State survives Sparty. Sparty's just, man, they're going to look back and go, what could have been? Mm-hmm. And it's their season this year reminds me a lot of Nebraska's last year. They're talented. They're good. They just couldn't put it together. Michigan was a mess. A whopping 20 points against Indiana, mm-hmm. 20-10. Both those teams are limping in severely to fight each other, and you're going to have a buildup. I didn't get to watch it, but I followed it. Our favorite Pirate couldn't get it done in Boulder. Colorado's a really good football team, and we'll see if they can go back-to-back against ranked teams. They get Utah, and then perhaps another dance with Washington State if the Pirate can handle the Huskies in the Apple Cup. So, good weekend of college football. We'll dive into Rivalry Week. We'll take Collar 6 right now. Collar 6. A six-month premium online subscription to you with HailVarsity.com. Collar 6 now, a six-month premium online subscription for you, courtesy of HailVarsity.com, 466-3776, 466-3776, toll-free, 1-800-825-5865. Here's what you get with HailVarsity.com and that six-month premium online subscription. Access to the message boards. Be a part of a great Husker community. Also, premium content. You can see me and Aaron Sorensen do a post-game video with that premium feed. I look marvelous, obviously. Insider info from our staff. In-depth recruiting analysis. Up-to-the-minute breaking news like wrist surgeries and pin jobs. I don't know. Find out more, HailVarsity.com, six-month online subscription, yours, if you're Collar 6, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. You don't, if you're not Collar 6, we'll do another giveaway next hour, but can sign up, 30-day free trial for you, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Blackshirt Charlie is next, Jay Moore is here, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better,
better!
Better, better!
We get
big, big!
We get big, big!
Boom, big, big!
Boom, big, big!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you back. Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning producing. Coming up in about 35 minutes, senior defensive tackle Kevin Maurice will be with us. It is Monday, and it's time for Mondays with Charlie. Coach Charlie McBride, brought to you by Emeritus. No one likes being distracted during games. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find that focus. Emeritus helping protect you and your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also, protecting employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. 130 years and counting, giving you peace of mind. Proud to stand with the Huskers. Proud to bring you Charlie McBride. Coach, how you doing?
Good. And pretty exciting. It's raining.
I missed that last part. Pretty exciting what now?
It's raining here.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, well, you can have all that rain you want. It's not as nice as it was last week. So welcome to winter-ish weather. Coach,
that's right.
Yeah, what'd you think of Saturday? A lot of emotion. A number of seniors went out, and they went out and just kind of gave it to Maryland. What'd you think?
Well, I thought it was pretty good. I, sometimes you wonder, but on TV, it looks like, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of enthusiasm, but they never show the sideline. They never show anything that would lead to that kind of a decision. You know, me saying it wasn't enthusiastic, but, you know, you're not there and you don't know what really is going on. But I thought they really played well, especially when you're playing with a backup quarterback who went above and beyond. I thought, you know, I was really happy for him because he's had a couple of struggles last year with Purdue and some of that stuff, and then he's going to be able to, you know, have a good taste in his mouth, and that's what's really good. And it's always good to know that he has game experience if something happens, you know, at Iowa or something. And but overall, I thought it was pretty good. You know, I was really newbie. I thought, really did a good job. I think he got a chance to stay in the game a little bit and gets a feel of the game, and I think that's what helped a little bit with his running. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, changing of the eye back and things like that, and I think it helped him as far as, you know, being a complete runner and getting some things done. But, you know, those younger kids are good. I mean, you know, you just wonder, well, who's the hot today? You know, it's one of those things. But, you know, I think that defense played pretty good. And, you know, I don't know. I just sometimes you wonder, you know, the only thing that you wonder is what I do, of course, defense. I didn't see a lot of guys around the ball, you know, when they're making tackles on the edges and stuff like that. I get nervous when I don't see at least about six or seven of them hanging around the ball. But that's the only thing I saw that I would, you know, that I would say. You know, there was a couple of kicks that weren't overwhelming, but whatever, you know, you got to expect some stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Coach, I thought obviously the defense played really, really well, except for that 192-yard play that they gave up in the fourth quarter. But other than that, they've been much improved all year, and Schmitty asked me early in the show what I thought the most improved area of the defense was, and I said the back end. Those four guys have played pretty well in that cover, you know, that cover four type of scenario. What the position group you thought might be you've enjoyed watching, you thought has really improved from year one to year two in Mark Banker's system would be who?
Well, I think that the job, I think it's really tough when you come in like John did and not know the kids and stuff like that. And I think they've made a pretty good improvement. I think overall, everything else, I know the secondary's really improved, you know, overall. And they have some good young players, you know, that when you're looking at the secondary, you know, you got to look at a little bit of depth and stuff, but it looks like they're getting some people back there that can, you know, come into the game and, you know, and really help. And so the depth part of it looks pretty good. And again, I think maybe a little in the defensive line, if they have a good recruiting here. And again, the offensive line looks like, you know, with some of those young players at the red shirt and, you know, could be dangerous. And, you know, those are the things you kind of look at, you know, when you come. The line has always been, to me, both sides of the ball is, you know, you're never going anywhere unless you can play your offense and defensive line are strong. And it just doesn't work that way. And so, you know, the two, I think, you know, I thought the defensive line probably was as good as anything. And a lot of those guys in the secondary improved. I thought Kalu played a lot better this year than he did last year. I just think they look like they have more confidence and stuff.
Charlie McBride with us, Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio. Coach, here is the situation at quarterback as we speak now. It may improve. It may be more of a headache just because of the injury situation, but Tommy's still a question mark because of his hamstring. Riker Fife had surgery yesterday because he had a broken bone in his wrist. He got a pin put in. So you're down to the third team guy, Zach Darlington. You don't want to burn O'Brien's red shirt. And then you have Lamar Jackson that could be your wildcat guy. How do you step up defensively? Because you had to go to Manhattan 1 year with a third team quarterback and take on a really good K-State team to keep title hopes alive. Nebraska trying to get into the Big Ten championship with some help. What's this team going through this week because of the injury bug? How do you handle it?
Well, you just hope, like the defenses, when they see it, that, you know, I always say that it sounds bad, but it's good. They're running scared. They got to get it done. They can't, you know, it's not a time where you're just going to take a nap and loaf. You got to do the job now because it's probably going to turn into a running game. And you never know what the weather may have. That may happen anyway, no matter who the quarterback is. So, but I think overall, I think, you know, you just, all you have to do is you got to really press the defense, you know, that this is the biggest job they've had all year. If you're, you know, going to your third quarterback, and, you know, it's kind of a tough deal for him, but I think it's good. I mean, I like that stuff. I mean, I think that they'll step up, and I think you're going to see probably, if that's the case, even if it's not the case and Tommy just doesn't play, I think they got to step it up because they're going to find out this is tough duty. This may be one of the toughest places to play in the Big Ten. And we've experienced it and gone over there and laid an egg. And so, you know, you have to just get ready for their pink locker room, and you have to, you know, get ready to, you know, a game that will be played against a bunch of kids that are, you know, tough and they're disciplined. And, you know, they just play football hard all the time on both sides of the ball. So you're going to have to really, really go on defense and be sure that your running game is up to par. So, you know, that's probably, you know, the crux of the thing. But anytime you get it, if something happens defensively or offensively, that's when you know you have a football team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because it's a team thing, and the defense is responsible for the offense, I think. It's their responsibility to take care of them. And that's what they got to do, and vice versa. But it's always a tough thing to see when you got a young man playing his third team, how he's going to handle it emotionally and everything. Mm-hmm. But I think with the teammates and all his kids hanging in there, it may surprise a lot of people.
Coach, tell me about the first time you walked into that pink Iowa locker room.
We were hanging stuff on the walls, so we didn't see it.
Really?
No, it's a mild pink, but it's one of those things. And I think they're right. I always laughed. I think you kind of put you to sleep a little bit, makes you feel kind of, you know, kind of nice and everything. but I mean, I didn't like it. I knew it was coming, and it wasn't as pink as I really thought it was. But you know, we still went over there and didn't play well at one time. And but, you know, look at Michigan. They probably, you know, they were at a point now where they think they're going to roll their hats on the field. They thought they were pretty good now, and they got beat. And maybe they grew up a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how you grow up in this game, is you never take anything for granted, ever. And if you do, it probably chances of getting your butt handed to you are pretty good.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about Iowa. Wadley, their tailback's really impressive, very fast. They're physical. Their defense is tremendous, Iowa's. I mean, it kind of comes down to special teams and turnovers. That's how you beat Iowa.
Right.
You play better than they do in that instance, in that phase. What impresses you most about this Iowa team? They were kind of written off after North Dakota State, but they've played really well, and they're one of the hot teams in the Big Ten right now after beating Michigan.
Well, knowing their coach and knowing, watching them over the years, I mean, they've been one of the teams that, you know, when we weren't in the Big Ten, that you were always pulling for, kind of, because you knew their coaches. And I was very good friends with their defensive coordinator at the time, and he's passed away since, and Norm Parker. But I think, you know, they're built on character, they're built on discipline, and they're built on being able to focus. I know that I talked to Norm a lot, and he talks a lot about focusing on every play, and your responsibility, of course. And, of course, you mentioned already they're going to be tough and physical. So, you know, you gotta go out there and show them who's boss, and keep up with it. If you let them just pound you around, and it's going to be a long afternoon, because they're capable of doing that. And I think what Nebraska has to do, I think, always in a game like this, whether you're preparing for, you know, a bowl game coming up or something like that, that you really want to really improve as coaches. You really want to get things, the season settled out with some real positive stuff. And I think they'll be working hard this week at preparing them for all of these things. And, you know, if they're not, they're going to learn a good lesson. And, I mean, in what Iowa is, because it's a tough, tough place to play. But it can happen, and, you know, and I think that would be a great, great win for Nebraska. The problem with a lot of it is you know, we really haven't played a team that's, you know, even has a winning record. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if you go back, it's Wyoming has one and Minnesota has one. But I think pretty much the rest of it's been pretty, you know, and we lost to the two teams in the Big Ten. And, of course, that's what everybody's looking at. You got to beat teams in the top 25 and things like that to put an impression out. So they've got a lot to prove, and I think that knowing these people, they'll be spending a lot of time this week really talking, you know, to them about what their responsibilities are. Some of the younger players, I don't think, realize it yet. Mm.
Charlie McBride with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, have a happy Thanksgiving with you and your family. We'll catch up with you next week, and we'll see how things shake out on Friday. We appreciate your time so much, and stay out of that rain so you don't melt, okay?
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you all, and I'll talk to you next week with a win, right?
That sounds right, Coach. Let's just put it on the board. We'll put it in ink.
Okay.
Take care, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Charlie McBride. There he is. Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride on Hale Varsity Radio. There's ton of respect, and Coach knows the Iowa program, obviously, from his days at Wisconsin, but mm-hmm. those early games that they played in the late 70s and early 80s, that's kind of when things cranked up with dislike mm-hmm. for Iowa, and we'll get into the rivalry week that is around college football, and does Nebraska and Iowa fit into that? And, I mean, is Iowa one of those teams you hate? I don't know. We'll spend a few minutes on that next segment. I'm too close to it. I just never paid much attention to them, mm-hmm. really, growing up.
I kind of
it's
view,
like Iowa, and they're in a Rose Bowl
again,
once in a while.
I kind of view Iowa as how I viewed Oklahoma. You wanted to beat them, but I always had respect for them.
Okay.
Because, I mean, listen, Iowa was the first team to ever offer me a defensive or D1 scholarship.
Okay.
You know, Kirk Ferentz came to the school, and, you know, I was able to see him, but, you know, just a great – great coach, you know, and I have much respect for him and what they're doing there, and was never going to go there, obviously, but I mean, he thought a lot about me, you know, so.
Yeah, he didn't come to Lincoln Southeast and offer me a scholarship.
So I have a hard time, you know, the guy offered me, you know,
your
a scholarship.
Recycle
so.
Well. Your geometry grade's crap. Can't come to Iowa. Yeah, go to Elkhart.
So I can't hate the guy.
No, just but from a fan standpoint, there's – I mean, you people you run around with, you either know somebody who likes Iowa or is
I do.
From
I got
Iowa.
Buddies that like that have Iowa. But, so I got buddies that – listen, I got a buddy I played golf with, and I'm like, what did you think about that Michigan game? He's like, dude, I'm so over Iowa. He's like, I don't care anymore. Like, he goes
they tend to go to a dark place once
he
in
goes,
a while because of disappointment.
And it's like, it's all Ferentz's fault. He needs to go. I'm like, well, pal, I think you're stuck with him for life.
You'll go before he goes. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll dive into it. Nebraska, Iowa, the rivalry question. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Jay, thanks to Charlie McBride. 15 minutes away, Kevin Maurice will join us on Hale Varsity.
Subscribe to Hale Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to halevarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to Charlie McBride. Now, if you're watching the Nebraska-Iowa game or you're in town for high school football playoff coverage, don't leave town without stopping by Zipline Brewing. And don't watch Nebraska-Iowa without a Zipline in your hand. The great folks at Zipline want to celebrate the holidays with you. And if you're in town for the holidays, be sure to find Zipline Brewing Company. A tap room, the original on West O. And, of course, the new beer hall opened in Southeast Lincoln, 56th and Pine Lake. Incredible. What is Zipline? What are they about? Well, they've started brewing in Lincoln a few years ago. They've been doing amazing work sales-wise the last 4 years. And, oh, yeah, the products they give you as a beer fan are second to none. Gold medal-winning Copper Alt, nationally recognized IPA, 40 different beers. They'll have one for your taste, and it's available. Zipline beer across Nebraska, on draft or in six-packs across the state. Stop by your local grocery store or bottle shop to get Zipline tonight. And if you're visiting Lincoln for the state playoffs, if you're visiting Lincoln for the holiday season, find your way to Zipline and one of their tap rooms, Westo or the 56th and Pine Lake Modern German Beer Hall. You sit down, you meet long-lost Husker fans. Mm-hmm.
I went there on Saturday, first time.
Yes. Did you do the sampler?
No. I did the NZ, New Zealand Double IPA.
Nice.
And then I went to one of their barrel-aged beers, which are 12%.
Okay. 12% of awesomeness plus another 98%. Mm-hmm. So they'll raise the bar.
Yeah, I need a nap after that one.
It's pretty good. It's really good.
It was good, though. Good stuff over there.
Get to the beer hall on 56th and Pine Lake with Zipline. Noon to 10, Monday through Saturday, noon to 6 on Sunday. Zipline brewed in Lincoln, but poured for all of Nebraska. Go see Marcus and your fine friends at Zipline Brewing Company. Okay, I'll even bring a Zipline over to my buddy Iowa, Russ. Saturday after Friday is he's going to wipe his tears. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'll be wiping my tears because it'll be a frustrating game. Because when you're not covering it in person, you can drift towards wanting Nebraska to win. I stay neutral. Obviously, I try. So I look at this and Nebraska, Iowa, it is rivalry week. So you got Carolina Duke. You got Michigan, Ohio State, you have UCLA and USC just played, but you do have the Apple Cup with Washington State.
Florida, Florida State
hookup, South Carolina, Clemson. Mm-hmm. So it's there. Iowa, Nebraska, one of these not like the others?
Texas, TCU?
All right. High five. No one cares. TCU's like, we're going to be 6-6 if we're lucky. Mm-hmm. Texas is like, have we moved on yet? Because Texas is evil. Okay. Iowa. Rival. Yes or no? Is there a sufficient amount of hate for Iowa? I know some of you hate Iowa. Some of you don't care about Iowa. You don't think about Iowa. I get that too. When I think of Iowa, I used to think of just boring, awful football. Then I had to watch it, and I kind of have some respect for it. They're just tough, and they just bash your head in. And then you need to outlast them. You need to match their toughness. You need to match their physicality. Anytime you beat Iowa, don't take it for granted. That's kind of where I'm at with Iowa. And specifically when Nebraska started playing Iowa in Big Ten play, it's always been a struggle. It's always been something that's going to go four quarters. And quite frankly, Iowa's got the win total an advantage over Nebraska when it comes to blowouts, when it comes to 20-point wins. Mm-hmm. Now, 2 years ago was quite comical where they blew a 17-point lead and Nebraska won in overtime. The senior day in 13 where they came in and won by 21 was also not nice to take if you're a Nebraska fan. So you've given each other a steaming pile on their doorstep in some instances. Iowa, does it classify as a rival? Do you dislike them? Like past Nebraska rivalries. You hated Colorado. You respected Oklahoma. Is Iowa somewhere in between? Are they more like Colorado? Are they more like Oklahoma? And I think right now, Iowa's more like Oklahoma. It just depends on what Iowa fan you know
and how you view him or her. Do they bother you? Do they annoy you? Or are you cool with them? That's kind of how it's painted my perception, on top of just that they've been pretty solid. Mm-hmm. They put guys that were under the radar into the NFL on both lines of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thing is, I don't know any like obnoxious, annoying Iowa fans. Like people I know that like Iowa are all pretty good dudes. Like they don't throw it in your face that much. They kind of know, you know, like they understand. Like we don't get too high, we don't get too low, because as soon
they're
as
like
we
their head coach,
right? As soon as we think we're achieving something, then we get our teeth kicked in. So, you know, just so kind of
they exist in fear.
Well, yeah. Well, Nebraska fans can kind of sympathize with them a little bit. You know, just as soon as you, oh, we're getting over this hump. Oh, Ohio State game, you know, or something. Stanford Rose Bowl game last year for them. Right. You know, just crazy things like this.
Awesome year, 12-0. Right. Gutty game against Sparty. Oh, McCaffrey just caught it out of the backfield again. Take a shot.
Right, but. Iowa, Nebraska. I don't think people like to hear it, but they're not too far off in, you know, how you build programs and how they're kind of how you see them. I mean, obviously Nebraska's been more successful, but
I think
just
that
the
bothers.
They,
I think if you talk to Iowa fan, they're like, dude, you live in the past. You're Nebraska, and Nebraska fans like, well, hey, brother, at least we have a past. Right, I mean,
sure.
That's the middle finger you give each other.
Right. I believe it's a rivalry game because it's on Friday. If this was just a Saturday game,
no,
I don't think so.
I think it can build up to what it needs to be.
If this game
right now, both teams are chasing Wisconsin.
Right. If this game was year in year out for the West Division to go to Indianapolis, without a doubt, it's a rivalry.
It figures in a bit, but it's not solely. Here's the two teams. Mm-hmm. They both beat Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and the winner of this goes to Indianapolis.
Last year, Iowa had it sealed up already, right? Last year?
I believe they did. Yeah. It's more of a spoiler.
Right.
The game has been about spoiling the other's season. And Nebraska's at 9-2. Iowa's trying to get to 8-4, so they're on similar footing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, last year Nebraska needed to spoil it for Iowa. Mm-hmm.
It's all about turnovers, man.
And back in 2012, that was the coldest game alive, where Nebraska won 13-7, and that would have spoiled Nebraska's trip to Indy. Looking back, you just throw that game and let somebody else go get smoked by Wisconsin. But that's what it's been about. It's not been for anything other than the. The Heroes Trophy, which I don't sneeze at. It's cool. And you have two programs that respect the heck out of each other. But right now they're at 8-4, 9-3 for Nebraska this year, 10-2. But you're just missing out on New Year's Day 6. You're just missing out on playing in Indy for the majority. Mm-hmm. I mean, Iowa's played in one championship game. Nebraska's played in one. It's really been Michigan State, Wisconsin, or Ohio State. For the postseason, until Nebraska or Iowa get to that level of consistency where you're always going, then it's just kind of a nice afterthought part of rivalry week. It's important around here, and it's going to be a national game on Friday. That'll be cool. But other than that, you know, the implications are just purely for when you're driving to Council Bluffs to get your meth. It's just whether or not the guy you're buying it from is an Iowa fan and going to give you crap.
All right, has bragging rights.
I'm sorry. I have to. neither state claims Council Tuckier wants to. And if you're from there, deepest apologies to you.
That might be the best description I've heard so far. You know? Or just, that was great. That was thoroughly entertaining.
Don't do meth. Who's on the line? John is with us on Hail Varsity. John, go ahead.
Hey, I love your show. I call quite a bit. Way too much respect going on for Iowa. All right.
Why do you dislike them?
I tell you what, I've had a chance to be on Iowa's sideline more than one time. And their coach is not the nice, soft-spoken guy that he comes off to be.
No, he's like Coach K, where he will blast an official, but it doesn't look like he's blasting an official. The language and tone he uses is brutal, but it doesn't come across psychotic on TV.
Yeah, you're right, and I'm not a fan. I tell you what, they rank right down there with Colorado and Missouri in my book.
Okay.
So the black and gold, no thanks.
John, thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate it. 466-377. See, I don't see them as...
Missouri's deep in my hatred.
Right. They're just... No, Missouri's brutal.
They're awful. They are awful. They get everything they deserve. Every loss they get, they deserve it. Ever since those drunk kids took a leak on our bus.
Hold on. Talk
to
me.
You've heard this? I told this story. We got beat down there my junior year. Brad Smith.
So 41-6. Yeah. Who's counting?
It was not 41. We could put up more points.
Okay, that was 07. My bad. I'm sorry. You want to piss off Jay Moore? Wrong Missouri loss.
Well, no. We did not play well defensively. We had a few busts.
Was that the game you guys were...
I don't remember. It was close, but Brad Smith ran for a lot. We had some busts.
Was this with Frank?
No, this is with Kellen.
Oh, 05. Okay, gotcha.
But yeah. we're on the bus.
I would be more mad about Terrence Nunn, but go ahead.
Yeah, sure. But no, we're on the bus after the game, and I'm in the back, and I think Fiala and Jim Rose are still calling the games at the time, and I'm kind of like, you know, just a little annoyed with everything, how the game went.
It was close.
It ended up being a lot.
You guys came back.
Yeah, we think we got to 7 at one point, but we couldn't get anything really rock and roll in the second half. But I'll never forget Jim Rose is like, and this is, we got Missouri fans pissing on our bus. And I look over, and there's two kids just taking a leak right on.
You didn't hear this ever.
Right, taking a leak right on our bus tires. No joke. I want to get off the bus so bad and beat him with everything I had left, but I think a cop showed up or like got him off. But this
he started with it, right? No,
right.
I'm kidding.
But just ever since then, it's just like, God, Missouri, you guys are awful. You're awful.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at
you. I mean, the buses were parked right next to the stadium, like right there.
But
like,
you come back, you lose that game. Homeboy fumbles, like, crucially.
Mm-hmm.
He did. Cause I remember somebody had money on that game. And to top it off, they're playing, they're sword fighting. Mm-hmm. Kevin Maurice next.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN. Or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with us, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Senior defensive tackle Kevin Maurice back with us. Kevin, Iowa looms, but how good did Saturday feel, senior day, going out like you did?
Yeah, it felt real good. Final time being out at Memorial, final time to put on the show for the fans, and most importantly, getting the W. So it was a really good feeling to walk off that field for the final time with a W under our belt.
Tell me a little bit about your role leadership-wise, and I know a few weeks back we talked, and you were pretty adamant about being one of those guys. You've always shown the ability through play and through actions to lead by example, but did you feel necessary post-Ohio State to kind of speak up in the locker room to kind of get things back in line after that ball game?
Definitely, especially within our room, just because of the fact how many young guys we had, and you know, they probably never experienced a game like Ohio State, so it was really important to kind of be more vocal and talk more after that game to help those guys, get us back on track.
Can you paraphrase what you said? What I mean by paraphrase, the gist of the message with PG language.
Oh yeah, we still have a lot to play for. You know, even though it might seem bad the way that we lost that week, we still either if we won that game or if we lost that game, we were still going to have to win out regardless. So, you know, we still got tons to play for. We're still in the thick of things, and it's no time to hang your head. But it's time to go back to work and finish the year out.
Couple more minutes, Kevin Maurice with us, Hail Varsity Radio. How much fun have you had this senior year?
Oh, I've had a lot of fun. it's definitely been a great season. You know, being 9-2 and the successes that we've had, and you know, just the group of guys that we have around. I'll definitely say it's been a very great season, and you know, I've enjoyed every minute of it.
So, your play has been highlighted by a number of outside folks, i.e. folks who are part of pro football, guys who kind of project guys, and I know you're focused on the here and now, but man, what's gone on? You've always had the ability, now you're getting the opportunity, and can you kind of take me through how it's gone? You've been dominant, and the short and simple question is, how have you been so dominant in the middle?
You know, I just take it back to, you know, just sticking to the game plan and making the most out of my opportunities. You know, they put me in great positions to make plays, and fortunately for myself, I have made those plays. And you know, there's still some plays that's out there that I've left, but you know, I've made most of my opportunities, and you know, it's more credit to what we have done as a whole than just myself, but you know, not really a stat guy or whatever, but you know, it is what it is.
Well, I mean, you're getting noticed, and you deserve that for how disruptive you've been in the middle. What do you think of when you think of Iowa football?
You know, obviously they don't like the big red, but you know, those guys are tough, physical guys, and you know, we kind of got away from kind of getting away from the, you know, the spread teams that we played earlier in the year and the spread team that we played last week. You know, this is more traditional football. You know, huddle. I mean, they'll huddle and they'll come out in their heavy packages and they're gonna try to run the ball. Then, you know, they are who they are. They're not gonna fake. They're not gonna try to hide anything. And we know what's ahead of us.
When you were recruited out of Orlando and you got to Nebraska and you've kept working up, did you envision your senior year being at that 9-win total with a chance to win a 10th, and then maybe you head back down to Florida for a bowl game or even maybe somewhere else? But, I mean, it could come full circle.
Yeah, you know, it's just great to be in this position. You know, in Nebraska, you know, it's a team that is story. It's a story program, and you know, being in this position to win 10 games and going to another Big Ten venue and another Big Ten foe, it's really a great way to end the season. And
what's Coach Perella been like? I'm sure he's been pretty much the same since the beginning of camp, but getting close to the end here. What has he had some words for you, some encouragement? Obviously, he's coaching and teaching you, but how's he mentored you along the way here?
You know, he's just a great teacher, a great leader. Over these past couple weeks, you know, he's been telling the seniors, you know, just soak in really all the moments these next few weeks. And just soak in those moments, because you're never going to be able to get those back, no matter what you do. If you go in pros or if you go or if it's just done for you, you're never going to be able to have those moments back. So, you know, it's easier to relate to a guy who's been in the same situation, who's probably been in that chair, the same chair that you sat in years ago. So, yeah, just basically just soaking in the moment and continue to play hard for each other.
If you made a count on the number of Red Bulls or Monsters he has in a day, what's the most he's maxed out at?
Oh, man. I don't even pay attention. I just know it's a lot. And, you know, he loves his vitamins, too. I learned that. So he's just a real cool guy, real riled up all the time. He's just a pleasure to have around.
Okay, guy on the defensive line that you project is having the most trips through the Thanksgiving Day buffet line. Who can eat the most on Turkey Day? Who do you think on that defensive line room?
I'll probably say it's a three-way tie between Mick and the Twins. Just watching the Twins eat, they eat a lot of weird stuff, and they eat a lot. But they eat a lot of weird stuff, and Mick just scarfs down everything.
What's the weird stuff the Twins eat?
I don't know. It's weird to me. I don't know if it's more. I don't know if it's more common to other folks. But like, they mix food like peas and corn in their mashed potatoes, and they put like sugar in their grits and bacon. Oh, it's weird.
I've had grits once in my life. How are you supposed to eat grits?
I eat grits with cheese and salt and pepper, not sugar and stuff like that. That's what I'm accustomed to. I don't know. There might be other people that eat their grits with sugar, but...
So they do mashed potatoes, peas, and carrots, and they just kind of do...
Just mix it around and on their plate. It's pretty nasty. I don't know. It is what it is.
Lastly, what's the one item on a Thanksgiving Day spread you would delete because it's just not good, in your opinion?
Stuffing.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been a stuffing guy. I don't know how people eat it, to be honest with you.
Is it because you've not had the right stuffing, or it's all stuffing bad?
It's just all stuffing's bad. I tried it one time, and you know, ever after that, never again.
All right, last food question: pumpkin or pecan?
Pumpkin.
Wrong answer. Kevin Maurice.
Thank you.
Kevin Maurice with us, Hale Varsity. Kevin, best of luck, man. Thanks for your time this year.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
He is rocking. He's doing so well inside and going to be in the league. Good for Kevin Maurice. I am going to defend pecan pie over pumpkin
until
the
pumpkin.
End of time.
Give me pumpkin over pecan.
You're wrong, both of you. You, Kevin Maurice, TJ Henning, it's pecan pie or bust. We'll go to the Twitter world and relive Missouri and bus peeing. That's next.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Thanks for your time. Winding down a Monday. Thanks to Kevin Maurice, Oscar Blackshirt, defensive tackle. So Dan has relived that Missouri nightmare with you when we were talking rivals, and you, Jay Moore, hate Missouri because they peed on your bus, outside of your bus, to be more specific. And Dan was down there via Twitter. He about fought that dude that peed on the Nebraska bus. Mm-hmm. Then the guy that was urinating walked over to where he was tailgating. Continuing on with Twitter from Dan: my cuz had one of those spots next to the stadium. We watched the whole thing. He went from banging on the bus, and then he tried to start stuff with us. I thought I might have to fight another 100 guys in that same color of yellow that he was getting rid of from his body.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan made the wise choice, but he was trying to defend the Husker honor. Then there's Jay Moore with eye black underneath, I'm sure, in the back of the bus, breaking things, stomping around because the broadcast team at the time said, yeah, Missouri fans are peeing on our bus.
Mm-hmm. That was on the other side. I was in the back, like Fiala and Jim Rome are on the side that the bus is getting peed on. And yeah. I was on the other one. I came. It was a bad deal. Just
see, the funniest story I ever heard, I read this and then he told it to me. This is Auburn, and I think 81.
Okay.
And Fox, late great Fox Bryant, this was in his book, and I asked him, like, did that really happen? He's like, you bet it did. Well, the Auburn fans were like shaking the bus because Nebraska just smoked them. This is Nebraska taking on Auburn on the road, right after the Penn State loss in 82, Bo Jackson's freshman year, and Nebraska wins like 41-7. Mm-hmm. Just crushes. Good Auburn team. Well, not only was the bus engulfed, like being shaken like you see in the movie Slapshot, right? Mm-hmm. You know, shaking the bus. But some dude like in front of the bus driver, and there's T.O. standing there, and there's Fox standing there, and McBride, I think, has maybe mentioned this too. But some hefty dude just like was in front of the bus, dropped his pants and mooned. And I mean, just boom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're looking out the front seat of a bus, mm-hmm. and then there's bare ass, mm-hmm. and
see
staring
a,
at you.
See a giant ham?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, yeah. Such proud fans, you know.
Oh, completely.
Out there. So proud.
The worst thing I've ever heard is someone ripping off Bear Bryant's hat in 78.
That's about it. But it was a houndstooth hat, so I'm sure it wasn't that it was Bear Bryant's hat.
That's kind of a good story, though. Like
that it was a really cool hat. I think Uncle Andy's uncle did that. He's like, yeah, that was my uncle. Hey, Bear, want a cigarette? Just ripped the hat off. Oh, it's completely good stuff. Yeah, so it's Nebraska-Iowa hate week. Maybe. Nebraska-Iowa. Tomorrow, a condensed week of Hail Varsity Radio. We will run down. Gary the One. What are we doing on Tuesday? Mitch Sherman. Rick Pizzo. Gary Barnett. And, yeah, that'll happen today. Big thanks to Michael Bruntz, Coach Charlie McBride, and Husker defensive tackle Kevin Maurice. For Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, DJ Henning. Tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity. Thanks.